Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kate, Kiwi, and BP.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Freelancers, a crossroads game. Designed by Donald Schultz, developed by J. Arthur Ellis of Dead of Winter, and Jerry Hawthorne and Nikki Schultz. The artists were Chris Bryan, Allison Carl, Sam Mamelli, Sean McCoy of Two Rooms and a Boom, and Carl, oh, you're doing so well, Sternberg.
Yeah.
Published in 2023 by Plaid Hat Games. Congratulations, humanity is dead. The bad news is that all they left behind is their garbage and a broken gig economy. That's why we need freelancers like you who are ready to take on any job, no matter how loathsome. As a freelancer, you will delve into the ruins, brave the wilds, and slay hordes of hideous creatures that litter the dark, forgotten corners of the world. Also, you can gather loot and return home, ready to blow it all and start over again the next day. It's a lousy gig, so it's perfect for the likes of you. The mechanics are cooperative game, deck bag pool building, role-playing, scenario mission campaign game, and worker placement, because every game has worker placement. And the box art.
Interesting. Yeah, it definitely goes along with that description that humanity's dead. Then there's kind of a bleak, like post-apocalyptic scene.
Sure.
But animated cartoon style. So there's various creatures roaming about that are like mixed between animals and robots.
Yeah.
There's a dragon in the background.
There's a dragon standing on the remains of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's very colorful.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the art style in Root.
Okay, yeah, a bit.
But not the same artist.
No. It's, I guess, a similar color palette. I don't know about, I don't quite remember the Root, like, drawing style, but.
Color use is interesting because it's like the figures are all just like one color with slightly different shades, but it's not.
Well, I think they're supposed to be lit by the fire that the dragon caused in the town. So that's why everything's all red, because it looks like the shadows behind things are like a purpley bluish.
Mm-hmm. All right. Based off all this, would you pull it off a shelf? BP.
Sure. The art style is cute. You know, cute for post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Kiwi.
Yeah, I would. I've enjoyed almost everything we've played from Plaid Hat. The only thing that gives me reservation is somebody, like, it's a crossroads game. Although Forgotten Waters was really great. Dead of Winter was awesome until Eric turned out to be the traitor. And then I hated it because I hate hidden traitor mechanics.
Yeah.
So
I believe this does, like, this. They did away with the hidden traitor part of these games.
Yeah, because it's the absolute worst.
Yep.
But yeah, so the art style, the way it's themed, and then if it's anything like Forgotten Waters, I really enjoyed the Pirate One cooperative from Plaid Hat. So
yeah,
I would.
I will be also a yes. I don't know if the box art is my style, but the description sounds interesting. And maybe the mechanics are kind of interesting. Always curious how worker placement fits. And like I said, I liked the things about the Crossroads series, which only one I played was Dead of Winter. I liked sort of all the different events and the stories and things. Didn't like the Hidden Traitor, but if they got rid of that, then I'm hopeful.
I think Forgotten Waters was technically
a Crossroads
game.
But along the same lines, I guess. But okay.
Yeah, I'm a yes as well. I don't think I have experience with the Crossroads series or this game developer, Plaid Hat. So nothing to go off on there, but yeah, cooperative and the description's definitely different.
Okay. How do we think it is played? It's cooperative, so that's good. We are working together to do jobs because we're gig workers. Right. I assume it's like looting the remains of humanity.
What are we pulling from a deck bag or pool?
Pieces of garbage.
Okay, yeah, this is going to be our loot on our gig, right? So that's all thrown into a bag, and then we draw it, which is very satisfying. I hope that's the case now.
And you place workers where you want to...
Yeah, what are the workers, I guess? This is tricky, because nothing is reading like a worker placement to me so far.
Yeah.
Seems more of like a kind of a, maybe a more silly dungeon delving type game.
Kiwi's looking at me very expectantly.
Okay. Well, this isn't my bit. This is your bit.
Are we ourselves the workers? Because we're cooperative?
That's what I was thinking.
So in Dead of Winter, you had like each person had their own team. So maybe that's it. Like we're each going to have like a crew of three freelancers that we can assign to do different tasks on the thing. So maybe that's just it. We have a crew of people and then we can assign them to different jobs. What jobs do we do in this post-apocalyptic economy?
I mean, we're trash diggers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the top tier trash of fallen humanity?
The toaster oven.
An excellent choice. Let me tell you, these mythical machines that I hear great things about. I've never seen one, but I was thinking printer cartridges. I feel like those are going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're rare and difficult enough today. Mm-hmm. That I imagine in the future they're going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And Kate, what is your choice? We've got toaster ovens and printer cartridges.
How about clothing hangers?
Okay. Yeah, because otherwise your stuff's on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can also be, if they're wire ones, you can wire them into things.
Okay, so all future electricity is done through clothing hangers.
Make them into things.
Okay. Multi-purpose tools. Uh-huh. All right, we got it.
Yes.
Really. Yeah.
History of using clothing hangers to turn them into other things.
Have you ever heard of Nellie Bly?
Yes.
No. Yeah, prove it, Eric.
Was it a journalist?
She was a journalist. She was widely known for recording her record-breaking trip around the world in 72 days in emulation of Jules Verne's fictional 80 days around the world. And then also, probably before that, an expose in which she went undercover to report on a mental institution from within. She was a pioneer in the field of investigative journalism. Now, when I thought of freelancers, I thought of investigative journalism and specifically Nellie Bly, since she was so groundbreaking in it, not only just setting a new sort of journalism, but also being a female in the late 19th century in journalism, which was already a difficult task. So she eventually got in on, whose magazine or newspaper was it?
Time.
Pulitzer's.
Oh, okay. I was just going to start guessing newspapers.
No. Well, 19th century newspapers.
Washington Post.
No, New York World.
Oh, well, that was my second guess.
Right. she went undercover, had to get arrested and get thrown into this insane asylum, and then published some first works in 1887 that turned into her book, 10 Days in a Madhouse, caused quite a sensation and prompted the asylum to implement reforms, which also brought her some lasting fame, and she had a significant impact on American culture, shedding light on the experience of marginalized women beyond just the bounds of the asylum. Again, kind of she ushered in this stunt girl journalism that would go on in the late 19th and early 20th century. The other one, Around the World in 72 Days, she started her trip about 25,000 miles across the globe, hitting some major cities, and reporting on it as she went. Some of her journeys and segments traveling all alone. I can't imagine just how how intense that would be, 72 days around the globe in the late 19th century.
Gonna be honest, that's like the, I'm assuming that the subtitle to that book was Jules Verne was a bitch.
Just showing up his 80 days. Yeah,
80 days. 80 days is for chumps.
She actually got to meet Jules Verne in France when she landed there.
And then she ran by him going, I got a record to beat.
Yeah. She held the record for
suck it, Vern.
For less than a month before somebody else came along and did it even in 67 days. So yeah, so Nellie Bly, kind of a freelancer, as she was employed sometimes by different newspapers. And started new types of journalism as a female. So,
all right then.
Nothing at all. It sounds like our post-apocalyptic world. But when I heard of freelancers, that's what I. You
know, we'll start a paper.
Yeah. So you guys want to know how to play?
Yes. Yes.
Great. We are freelancing adventurers embarking on epic quests together. No job is too small, and no monster is too big. Mostly because we're broke. We are seeking personal glory by acquiring titles to reflect our deeds in hopes of having our names carved on the infamous pipes of the hub. There's an app that provides narrative and direction to play through an adventure. We're going to be doing the learning scenario and some of the first adventure, which is called Wizards and Worms. But Worms is in like the dragon type worm. The app helps walk through setup for the adventure and putting the characters together. Players will have roles in order to maintain the game as the story progresses, and there are 7 total roles. So in a 7-player game, each player would have 1 role. But with fewer players, obviously some of us will have to take on several roles. The roles are the Game Master. That person just controls the app. We have the Bookkeeper. They're in charge of the location book, which involves turning pages and reading during the action resolution phase. We have the cartographer, who keeps track of party location and makes any maps or any marks on the adventure map.
We have the medic.
Okay. we have the medic, who tracks the party's wounds. We have a scout that keeps track of the party's risk and threats. The lookout, who keeps track of the location dials, which show enemy health or other game elements, which is based on the location. And we have the influencer. Ooh. Okay, it sounds like BP's the influencer. keeps track of influences and takes selfies.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Ted Lasso fan, and then it's an ussie, because if there's more than one person, then it's an ussie and not a selfie.
Sure.
Each of the rounds is broken up into 3 phases. So during the planning phase, we have a limited amount of time. Then there's a timer in the app to plan out what we want to do in the round. Each location will have a number of actions. Some actions may only take a character. Some may be able to take multiple characters. Actions may be locked based on what we've done already in the past or what we need to do. And then some may be required to fill. So we have to make sure that those get filled. By the end of the phase, we need to have our player tokens on the action or actions we want to perform.
Those are our workers.
Those are our workers. So we are the workers, which I think Kate said. Action phase. So in order, we're going to resolve the actions from first to last by simply following the instructions for the action. Once resolved, the player will remove their character standee from the page. If we have to do skill checks, we're going to do dice rolls with different sided die and skill modifiers, which will change as we level up our characters. And then time is resolved by drawing risk tokens from a bag that potentially could have different effects. And then finally, we go to the end of round phase, which is where we're going to end the round and then put in a number into the app based on whatever the page says and follow the directions. Our characters are going to build up their skills and level up as we progress through the adventure. If we ever need a tiebreaker, we use the influence track, with the winner of the tiebreaker being the one highest on the track. And if we ever need to save our progress, the app has a way to do that as well. And then finally, there are several ways for the game to end. Our party could be too wounded and we can't carry on, so we lose. The party is disbanded because there's too much threat, so we lose. Or we could reach our quest goal, in which case we win. And those are pretty much the rules.
Let's play.
we just finished a game of Freelancers. To recap, I don't know how to recap this. We won.
Yeah. We fought a dragon.
And we defeated it.
Yes.
Yes. Strategy.
I feel like we picked the shortest path and got extremely lucky that I found some sort of ice wand thing.
Mm, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was anybody else's strategy?
No.
Okay. Theme. What did you think of the theme? Did you feel like you were post-apocalyptic freelancers and
Fantasy freelancers?
Fantasy freelancers?
Sure. I think this style game with the story and whatnot, there's a lot of theme present.
I agree. Yeah. I think the storytelling really helps bring in that post-apocalyptic kind of odd adventure-y bits.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think it's another one of these, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, Time Stories or something, where they had, like, a cool different theme, and they kind of played on it a bit, but then it was also, like, but we're also going to do a standard fantasy camp, like, adventure. Like, I feel like they could have been a little bit more creative and, like, not go fight a dragon and do something more rooted in this whole, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fall of humanity thing.
Yeah. And there might be. It just happens that we fought a dragon in the first one.
Same with Time Stories. Like, why do they go with, like, fantasy when you could do other things that are not the standard? But, I mean, yeah, it does do a good job in terms of, like, the storytelling and all that kind of stuff to build up that theme. I just wish, again, they would not just do the same cliche things over and over. Table presence?
I mean, I thought I mean, obviously with the app and things, it would probably draw your head. It's a hard to I feel like almost think of that, like based on Tabletop Simulator and what it looks like. But I think the components are pretty interesting. The book was pretty interesting. I don't know if like the artwork is anything like super fantastic. Like I wouldn't want to cover up the cards, but I think it's something kind of unique in that way with a map, you know, kind of reminded me of some of the other choose your own adventure cooperative games that we have and that we've been playing, such as
So role player, adventurers, Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think table presence wise, like this is one of those games where like I would love to have a physical copy where Eric was actually drawing a dragon and a hermit and a boat, like just because I want to see what Eric thinks a flargle is, and I want that picture. So I think this is one of those things where like it might look better at the end too when the map is all drawn over.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the book and the pages and everybody's got these different components and like I think it would turn your head.
Yeah.
Anything that gives you a map and tells you to draw on it is good table presence.
I agree with what's been said. And I thought the art was pretty good when I got to the frog.
I like the frog town
page. I was like,
whoa, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it would have, again, if you had the physical book in front of you, it would have been probably cooler. Mechanics, Kiwi?
So I think this is just a retheme basically of Forgotten Waters, because this is almost exactly how Forgotten Waters played, right down to the app and everything. I do appreciate that there was an app, because a lot of times with games that have like a lot of reading, so like the intro scenarios for Gloomhaven and Frosthaven, the in-between stuff for role player adventures, the stuff for Sleeping Gods, like having somebody else read it just sort of like helps out a lot. And then you don't have like one person reading a ton. Cause sometimes that can be like, not necessarily painful, but it's just like a lot of talking basically.
I'm 50-50 like on that. I think we like to read, especially with Sleeping Gods. We've been playing Agamonia, which also has a like app for all the story pieces, and that's pretty good too. So
yeah. Plus Yeah. So, and then like everybody's splitting the roles. So like everybody had something to do. I think, you know, Kate got a role that wasn't really conducive really for tabletop simulator, but we tried to give her as much as we could with what we had. So, but yeah,
I do like that. I do like the admin roles being kind of split out and kind of gamified a bit. So I think that's smart.
And I also like the skilling up basically gave you like different dice to roll for bonuses and things. So that was interesting.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think I was thinking if there's anything else.
No, I think I might just disagree with the point about the app. I don't know. I like reading from the book.
Yeah.
It was like every time we had to play the app, it was like, okay, here we go again. The book is really fun when we play Earthborn Rangers or Sleeping Gods. I enjoy the book.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, oh, I'm the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit of a bummer for me.
Now, is the app optional, I guess, is the question.
I don't think it is. I think you have to use the app. I don't think there's a book. I would have to do more research, but I don't think there's a book with everything written
down.
Yeah,
like when there's a good option. It's like, I think with the new Sleeping Gods, we didn't get this like app part or the voice acted part, I guess. I had to put in mechanics. So, I think in mechanics, I did it like the treasure thing where like I drew a treasure, but I didn't want that one. So I just had to discard it immediately. So there's no chance to trade. So it kind of makes like your luck of the draw a lot more impactful. It's like, oh, this is great for somebody else, but I didn't want it. I don't know if I like that. I'd have to see how it plays, because it's also interesting that like your campaign is like kind of a single play. So I don't know. That was kind of a frustrating part, but maybe that's just the way it's designed. So you're just only supposed to draw a few treasures per campaign, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd have to play more to see kind of how that worked, but.
A quick review says no, that is not an analog only version is not available. It's something that they want to explore, but the designer says that there's over 160,000 words. And so it would require extra rules and language for making it work during play, since there were some storytelling elements where you got to choose your own adventures. But like Role Player Adventures, I think, has a good way of like, you know, based on your choice, you go to a different entry. Yeah, so like, it is doable.
Does this too a lot. It's so Sleeping Gods. So I feel like it's a solved problem.
Yeah. And I wonder if a book was more expensive than the app, but I can't imagine that doing an app and paying voice actors was more than
cost.
Was less than a book. Yeah.
Rules, learning the game.
It's not hard. I mean, it's cooperative, so that I don't know. We're kind of like all taking similar actions and learning together, so it's fine. And there's not too much to it, you know. It's just dice checks on a lot of things.
I'd say it's pretty straightforward. And there's a whole tutorial. So
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. There's a tutorial.
It's up to Kiwi, but it seemed like that made having to read the rules ahead of time less impactful.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, once I learned that there was a tutorial, I didn't read a whole lot of the rules. I just kind of tried to make sure that I had like the general gist of how it's played. And then I watched like one how it's played video as well, just because I knew we were going to go through the tutorial. My only complaint about the tutorial is, you know, because it let you pick your own actions, you weren't necessarily always guaranteed to like hit different aspects. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wish that it had like, maybe at least for those first couple of things, like especially if it's your first game, like who cares? Maybe like have it dictate you're going to do this, and this. And then you kind of go through everything, because there were times where it was like, oh, well, what is corruption? Now I remember it explaining what corruption is, but now I got to go back. Whereas I think like the tutorial for Forbidden Skies for Sleeping Gods, like it actually had like a, hey, you do this. This is the value you get, and so you fail the check, and this is what happens. So like it forces your hand to get to all the points, whereas this one, it was, you know, it based it the tutorial off of luck, and that's a weird way to base a tutorial. So that's my only complaint.
Player interaction. I mean, it's a cooperative game. There's not too much discussion, just kind of when you're putting things on the multi-choice one, but. I mean, otherwise, sometimes it tells, like, picks who's playing or who, based off influence or something, like, who's sort of the leader of that section or something. But I mean, otherwise, it's interactive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about the voting on each other's improv or choices.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
Because you could definitely, like, gamify it, too. Or, like, obviously, you want it to succeed because we're on the same page. But also, you don't want to be like, your idea was trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that wasn't my favorite thing either.
Yeah, and the first time I didn't realize it was going to do that, so I'd already clicked ahead. So like BP, when she was giving the compliment, she already knew like that we were going to vote on whether it was rude or polite.
Yeah.
So it probably should have had like a thing that was like, "Hey, your fellow players are going to vote on how well you do."
Yeah, but even that's just even knowing that ahead of time is still weird. I feel like for that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
I think it should just be like after that, it was like, did you choose to be polite or rude in your compliment? And then it a vote, but just sort of.
There still should be like a choose your own adventure aspect to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you choose to be polite or this? And then you just decide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Would you play it again? BP.
Yeah, I like the adventure. I like the storytelling. I don't think, as of right now, you can have too many of them, but I thought it was fun.
Kate?
Yeah, as well. I also, like the storytelling cooperative genre. I'm not to harp on this, I feel like I said a lot, but I would want to do it in person, I think.
The
interaction would have been better in person. Like it did feel slow. Like I got up and went to the kitchen and got snacks, and I didn't feel like I missed anything. I was on my phone a little bit, but I feel like in person it would be more interactive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also significant tabletop issues this time.
Yeah.
That didn't help.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in person, like it drawing on the map and actually having the book, and would have just made it a lot better. Kiwi.
Yeah, I'm a yes as well, exactly for all the same reasons that you guys had. I wish there was like a way to do it two players, because it being a three is the minimum that you can have playing the game. And that's just not a thing that's going to happen a ton in this house. And the same thing with like Forgotten Waters. Like I really wanted that one too.
What's the max?
Like 7.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So 3. Yeah.
Just be like Sleeping Gods. Like each have two characters.
Yeah.
I think it would work.
They could have made it work probably.
Yeah, it's possible. And maybe I could look into the rule book and see, but like the box, BGG says 3 to 7. It's best with 5 is what BGG says. So it won't be something that like exists in this house, but like if somebody else had it and they were like, "Hey, we've got 4 players. You want to play?" And I'd be like, "Hell yeah, I do." It was good.
Did you get Forgotten Waters or did you not because of that reason?
No, we just, when I was going to get it, we just never like found it to buy it. And then I just like, not necessarily gave up, but it was like, well, we've got other stuff, story tokes.
I assume it's also 3 players then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is a Crossroads game. I looked it up. It's just not in the title, like a title like it is for freelancers.
I'm borderline. I like the concept. I don't like the general silliness of it. I tend to like more. So I think I would lean towards Forgotten Waters over this, which is more like pirate themed and a little bit less goofy, I guess is the right word. I'll say yes, though, just because I do like the core game concept of it. Going back to like Expeditions, this is the kind of game I wanted like Expeditions to be more like, where you could have like this cool storytelling and feel like you're exploring and stuff. But man, just because of the map part, I'm going to say yes. But I don't know if the theme is quite up my alley.
Yeah, I wish I remembered Forgotten Waters more. I remember enjoying playing it and the stories.
Was it a bit more serious? You were going from port to port, and it was kind of like a Pirates of the Caribbean ghost story kind of thing. A little bit more serious. You had big boat fights and stuff. You were like going off to the edge of the seas or something. A little bit more, a little less silly, I guess. All right, that was Freelancers, a Crossroads game.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on the platform known as X or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says is he is getting ready to sing a song of his favorite comfort food recipe. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
All right, Kate's gonna be a goblin.
That's pretty fitting.
I want to be a cat person.
I think Silas would help move boxes because he likes to be helpful. He tries.
Have the cartographer draw a picture of a flargle where it has been encountered on the map.
Man, I wish I had a fine-sized pen.